Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, I'm joined by my buddy, Nick Kostos. You guys probably know him from his show, You Better You Bet. And the reason I wanted to have Nick on the show is I thought he would be a great guy to talk to about the return of everything at once, right? So we got football, we got baseball, we have basketball, we have soccer, everything that you could ever possibly be interested in terms of live sports. It's on TV right now. And, you know, I think some people are probably a little bit overwhelmed. You know, what do we pay attention to? What do we do on a daily basis? So we talked a little bit about that, talked a little bit about, you know, our quarantine experience and everything. And then also, you know, some of our leans for week two NFL games, you know, kind of just getting back into that swing of things as well. Nick is a very entertaining guy. I could listen to him talk about anything. So hope that you guys enjoy the show. And of course, if you want to support, you can leave a rating or review on iTunes or subscribe to patreon.com/takecast for bonus episodes of the show as well. Thanks for listening. Now let's get into the episode. All right, everyone, welcoming in my buddy Nick Kostos. He was on the show in the middle of having absolutely nothing to do when our entire community was just watching these ESPN documentaries on Michael Jordan. Came on the show, cursed like a sailor. Everyone really enjoyed it, and I thought that it would be cool to bring Nick back in and kind of just look back on doing absolutely nothing for 6 months, and now we have everything. We can't turn it off. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me back on the show. Appreciated you coming on my show, You Better You Bet, this past Monday. Want to make that a more regular thing because I think you're awesome with your takes in fantasy and betting and in general. You know, I find myself kind of, as crazy as it sounds, like I love sports, lifelong sports fan, kind of yearning for the halcyon days of the pandemic where I was just basically smoking pot and playing Xbox in quarantine every single day. And now there's no time for anything except watching sports and grinding on these shows. So a lot going on. I guess things could be worse though, right?
I mean, things could be worse. I think that that's so interesting though, because I do, I kind of look back and I'm like, you know, I was getting a lot of reading done. I was watching shows that I just never would have time to watch now, you know, just like, I watched all of Star Wars Rebels during,
is that the animated show? Is that the animated show? Good.
So it's not, it's the, not the main animated show. Star Wars, the Clone Wars is the main animated show. Rebels is like, even, it's even more niche. It's even okay. More nerdy. And there's four seasons of it. I watched that. I watched, some old, cooking reality shows with my girlfriend. Like we got a lot of just catching up normal people stuff. Cause you know, Nick, normal people are not watching Game 7 and the Rockies A's game and Thursday Night Football. They're not trying to sweat at all. They kind of just watch whatever they want to watch. And we got to experience that for a little bit.
Yeah. And I got to, and it was, you know, and you know, I'll never complain about like what we do for a living, right? Which is great. And there are a lot of people that would love to do it, but I mean, you're right. Like when, like I have to have a conversation with my girlfriend, like, okay, Wednesday night, which is tonight, as we tape this on a Wednesday. I don't think there's any NBA tonight. I'll be really upset if there is. I don't think there's any NBA games tonight. There's no NFL until tomorrow night. Okay, so tonight is a night that we can set aside and like go for a walk after my show tonight. We can maybe eat dinner after the show. So we kind of have to like game plan around like days when there's no football. Whereas like you were saying, like I would have done unspeakable things to get sports back during the pandemic, mostly to secure like our incomes, right? Which is really what we needed here. But right. It was kind of like, man, like, I like reading the newspaper, right? That's not meant to be a humble brag. It's something I like to do, right? And every morning I was going outside in my house, right? Going to the backyard and sitting on like one of these like nice chairs that we have and like reclining in the sun and reading the newspaper. I don't have time to do stuff like that now. Like you want to talk niche. There's a Japanese show. I'm big, huge into Japanese culture called Midnight Diner on Netflix, which is like set in Tokyo. Could not be more Japanese. I was watching the hell out of this show. I can't even dream of sitting down to watch even like a 20-minute episode. There's just no time now. But yeah, man, sports are awesome. Great to have football back, especially. And yeah, it's a wild time right now in the industry and life in general.
Yeah. Having football back, I gotta say, I didn't have like a great first Sunday back in DFS. Betting like went pretty well, but I found myself so comforted by having football back on my TV, having games going on, and obviously a huge part of what I was doing during the pandemic was drafts, right? Doing all these best ball drafts,
you know, obviously got in way too many dynasty leagues that, like, now that we're sitting here in the middle of the season, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to manage all these dynasty leagues. I'm just going to have to take the L in some of them. And that like the serotonin release of football on the TV and knowing that it wasn't all for nothing was like one of the most magical experiences of my life, I think.
So like, you know, I don't mean to be cheesy here, but this is the truth, right? I'm always authentic. So like the red zone clock counting down on Sunday and then Scott Hansen getting into a spiel and then the 7 free hours, I got misty eyed. Like I literally like wanted to cry. Like I'm on a text with a couple of my old coworkers at CBS, Pete Prisco, Will Brinson, Jamie Eisenberg. And like, we were like texting as this was going, we were like, cause we're texting throughout the pandemic. And it's like, we all thought we were going to get football. Like I never thought we weren't going to get the NFL. College, I was like, you know, maybe we won't get college football or basketball. I never really felt like we weren't going to get the NFL, but it's kind of like gnawing in the back of your mind, obviously, of course. And just when we saw, especially on Thursday night, but really on NFL Sunday, like I legitimately got like misty eyed. Like I was like almost in tears as like the games kicked off on Sunday, kind of similar. Now I was a little drunk when the Yankees and Nationals played that first game on that Thursday night. Right. That was another like misty eyed type experience, but just great to have. And football's my first love just as a sport in general. For sure. The NFL has always been my favorite thing since I was a little kid. So it was really special. And it's just magnificent to have it back. Like my life would be kind of empty without the NFL. I could, the other sports, they went away, I wouldn't be happy. But the NFL, I think, would actually, like, I would be sad, like, on a regular basis, actively, without the National Football League.
Yeah, like, I like baseball. I like basketball. Like, watching, having playoff games beyond from noon to 8 has been great, right? There's just kind of always something going on. Having all those, there was that period in August where we had a soccer game every single day. You know, we had England and Germany and Spain and all playing at the same time. Like I thought that was fantastic. That was, I actually kind of hoped that the thing that we got out of all of this in terms of sports was like more people taking an interest in European professional soccer, and maybe some people who would have never watched now like know who I don't know Harry Kane is, right? Like maybe that happened, but it didn't really have the impact. I mean, people in the United States always say this. They always like, oh, this is going to be the thing that makes soccer more popular here. And it never really happened. But I actually, for me, that was like the highlight of quarantine sports, was literally just soccer on at all hours of the day.
And, you know, I give you a lot of credit because you've been kind of on this particular bandwagon that I'm going to talk about now for a long time. And it kind of struck me. So, you know, when you bet, we're on a hiatus, right? From May 1st until June 15th. So the show's off for 6 weeks. So we come back and I'm hosting with, at the time, my executive producer, who still like is like overseeing the show in an executive role, but no longer working on the day-to-day, Eli Herskovich, who's like known with people in the space as well. And Eli and I are doing the show together. And the show basically became a soccer and golf betting show that we were doing every single day, which was odd, you know, normally like we're talking other sports. And soccer has always been a love of mine for a really long time. So like, I'm like you, I've been into soccer for many, many, many years, European and world soccer. So I love it. It kind of sucks that like it comes back now. I think it was really hot for a while and now it comes back smack dab right when football season starting, American football season is starting. But the interest that I really took was golf. And specifically betting on golf, Golf Daily Fantasy. And I remember you tweeted me and you were like, this is the best sport to gamble on. And I was like, huh, I wonder if
it really is.
I think you might be right about that. Now, it's not my favorite sport, so like I would rather gamble on the NFL. But as far as like a sweat and a rush is concerned, I think that was my big takeaway, honestly, was wow, like golf is awesome. Like when we were like, it was the only game in town, we covered every single tournament like it was the Super Bowl. I thought that was really cool. Like I thought that was kind of my big takeaway. The whole thing was, wow, like this is a really, really, I always liked it. And now I think I love it. And I'm pumped for the US Open coming up this weekend at Wingfoot.
So that's what is, I'm finding the weirdest thing. Like 2020 has been a weird year in many different ways, but the U.S. Open is always this really great event. You know, generally we have like, because the courses play so hard, it's always, you know, it's always DJ or Rory or Rom. Like it's just always a great golfer. Like it's not like the PGA where Jimmy Walker can win it. You know, like it's going to be great TV. And I find myself, because I'm so wrapped up in football, I'm still trying to keep a pulse on baseball. We have these great, I mean, we literally had a game 7 on a Tuesday night in September last night. Like there just is so much going on. I really find myself not that pumped about the US Open. Like I have my DraftKings lineups done. I have my bets in and everything, but it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch it and I'm psyched for it. But whereas where it normally is, like normally it takes up my whole week. Like a golf major is going to take up my entire week. Like we are so spoiled right now because of how everything is breaking down. We're like, the leagues were able to figure everything out. Looks like baseball was very touch and go there for a while. But I mean, we are so spoiled. All the best professional sports in the world right now are happening.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think kind of like the unintended side effect, or like not unintended, it's just like, it just kind of is what it is, right? Of all of this happening at the same time. And I talk about this on my show, You Better, You Bet, all the time, like the real life aspect of this, right? Like you have a girlfriend, like you have a life that you have outside of sports and everything. Same thing with me. I live with my girl here and like, I'm doing 6 days a week now as part of my contract, right? So I'm working, yep. You know, Monday through Friday and Sunday. Saturday is my only day off. Like, I can't really like sell to my girl, like, oh, by the way, I got to sit and watch golf all day on Saturday.
Yeah. So Saturday is like, I think a lot of people who do what you and I do, Saturday is your day to go be with your girlfriend. Like, oh, I want to go to the, I want to go to the pumpkin patch. I want to go do this or that. And yeah. Like Saturday's the day. You really are not going to be able to sell. All right, look, I'm going to pay $50 to watch the Oklahoma football game on pay-per-view. Yeah. And then I'm going to watch the third round of the Sanderson Farms. Like,
no, I can't do it, man.
Something up. Yeah. You got to give something up.
And here's where it's going to get tricky, right? Cause so the Big Ten makes the announcement this morning, Wednesday morning, that it's coming back in late October. And then like, presumably, and I'm generally pretty optimistic about stuff and bullish about stuff. So it's not meant to be like a political comment. I think that we'll end up getting all this stuff, right? So like, we're going to have like a reasonable facsimile of a college football Saturday, right? Coming in like a month, 6 weeks from now, let's say. We'll see what happens with the Pac-12. And then like, look, man, like this is kind of the pact, right? That you got to make. Like, my relationship's important to me. Like, yours is important to you. I'm sure a lot of your listeners and my listeners on my show feel the same way. Like, you got to punt once in a while, man. Like I can't punt during the week because I have to work. I would never punt on Sundays, even if I would never want to punt on Sundays, because even if like I weren't doing this for a living, I would be sitting watching NFL all day on Sundays. Saturday's the punt day, man. Saturdays and Friday nights. That's about it. And then like the odd day during the week, like today on Wednesday, like I said, where no NBA tonight, no NFL tonight. Tonight's a night where I can actually sit after my show and maybe watch a little Netflix, have some hot chocolate with my girl, and then, you know, and go from there. Because tomorrow we got the Browns and Bengals and NBA Eastern Conference Final game two tomorrow. And then Friday night, we got the Lakers and the Nuggets in game one. And then we just go on and it's just like, it's crazy. But you know, like I said, would have killed for this a couple months ago. And now we've got it. So I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah. I mean, a couple months ago, I was like waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning and like watching professional League of Legends, right? And,
yeah, like, so I never got that bad. I never got to that level with the esports. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like playing Call of Duty DFS and stuff. Like it, you adapt to things very quickly. And I mean, a big challenge, I assume, for a lot of people right now is just like trying to find like some sense of balance and like, or like real fear of missing out. Cause like, there is gonna be some great college football games and that I probably don't bet on, that I probably don't watch. Like college football DFS is a huge grinder sport and, you know, really rewards people who grind it super hard. And I just kind of over the years have had to be like, look, I mean, I can grind these Saturday slates for like what, you know, 11, 12% ROI and everything. But like, I got to have a day to just like go be a person and not, not a click bot, you know?
Yeah, we all need quality of life. And, you know, I'm a little older than you. So I turned 37 in June and I found that I used to have like crippling anxiety when it came to like the thought of missing like a big sporting event, given what I do for a living. Like I'm always like hyper prepared, focused to probably a fault. It's a double-edged sword, right? Where like it helps me be great at what I do, but it also affects my quality of life. So as I've gotten older, and specifically, I think quarantine kind of, it's going to be fascinating, right? And one of the reasons why I'm such a fan of yours, and I mean this sincerely, is you're a smart analytical guy, and the way you think about things, I think, is kind of along the same wavelength as me. I didn't mean to indirectly compliment myself in that way, but I feel like we're kind of on, I know it probably came across that way. I didn't mean for it to come across that way, where I think a lot of times, like, how are we collectively as a society, and of course, and as individuals as well, kind of going to look back at quarantine and like the early days of this pandemic and how kind of it changed us and forced us to kind of rethink a lot of things. I've rethought a lot of like things that I've done and and kind of change the way that I think, right? So my FOMO now, interestingly enough, is not, oh no, like I may miss game five of the Lightning Islanders Eastern Conference Final. My FOMO is, during quarantine, I rekindled my love of video games. I used to be a huge gamer. And over the course of the last decade, like I've really gotten away from it. Like I stopped playing. And like I was playing the Yakuza video game series, which is again, like really Japanese nerdy stuff, but I love it. And I started this, like the third game, and I'm like 7 hours into it. I was 7 hours into it like 6 weeks ago, and I'm still 7 hours into it. That's where my FOMO was now. Like, wow, like I really want to sit down and play this game. Or I've got the soccer, not FIFA, but PES, Pro Evolution Soccer, whatever. Yeah. And like now that soccer's back, now I really want to spend a couple hours and play this game. And it's like I can't. Like I actually don't have the time to. That's where my FOMO is coming from now. It's no longer like, oh my God, I'm going to miss Yankees Red Sox on a Saturday. Now it's like, I'm not going to be able to watch the Netflix show I want to watch, or not going to be able to play this video game or do this thing in my personal life. So I'm hoping that as time goes on, this will prove out to be something that quarantine changed in me personally for the better, and maybe for other people as well. I can't speak for them, only for myself.
Yeah, I mean, I totally relate to that. Like, I mean, the quarantine, I crushed a bunch of video games. I actually retired myself from playing FIFA because it is, first of all, it's like EA Sports is like a terrible corporation. They really are. Like,
they don't give a shit, man. They're going to be the same game every year, same problems every year. Doesn't make a difference because they're still making money.
I shouldn't say terrible. It's just they run a very efficient business where they don't have to put a ton into it, and they really print a ton of money. Like, I love Madden. I love FIFA, but it just is not – it's not super healthy for me to play. So I switched over to playing MLB The Show, which is a Sony game. And since I have not played – I played one game last night, but since – football like came back in the sense of like getting ready for week one and everything, I literally have not even been able to put aside an hour where I'm like, yeah, this is actually the most optimal use of my time, where it's like I could go on a walk with the dogs, like we could go do this, we could go do that. Like I'm sure you were kind of like this too, where you didn't even really notice it happening. You were just like, I'm just moving on to the next thing because I got to move on to the next thing. And if I don't, the whole rest of my day is going to fall apart. I'm going to get behind at work. I'm going to get yelled at. The dishes aren't going to get done. The laundry's not going to get done. Yeah. And it's one of the things I'm trying to do right now is like really actually get organized, which I've never really been good at. So I actually paid for one of these organization apps, and some people swear by these things, right? They're like, okay, this is your list. You know, you got to do this every day. You put your haircut in here, you get your laundry done, you get your 30 minutes exercise in, it's all in there. And I mean, I find it a little bit helpful. I probably need to, like, I don't know, listen to like a productivity podcast or some shit, you know, but like, I really, because there's so much going on, I'm really, really having to make an effort to like actually stay on a schedule and be productive. That like just sitting on Twitter for 30 minutes is like actually will destroy my day because it gets me 30 minutes behind what I need to be doing.
Yeah. And I find, and look, and I've tweeted a couple times that I think Twitter has kind of been like, it's exponentially better than now that sports are back. I mean, it was like a living, breathing, I guess it's a technology or whatever, but just such a depressing thing to be on. Like, I actively try and avoid it now whenever possible. I had a conversation with my agent, not meant to be a humble brag, but like I was like talking to him about it, and we're talking about like social media presence. And I said to him, like, look, man, like I'm down to be on social media and tweet during games and stuff, but I'm not like my life is not going to be spent on social media. My following is important in the sense that like, I guess like all followings are important, but like, I don't care really. Like I need to have my quality of life, man. Like I can't be sitting on this and like, just like my job, I don't get paid to tweet. Like I get paid to do a show. So I try and spend as much, like I deleted Facebook. I don't really use Instagram that much anymore. And I try to only be on Twitter to A, promote my show, and B, during sporting events, which I actually enjoy that. I enjoy to tweet during like football games, et cetera. And the one thing that I found, kind of what you were saying with organizing, it's really like, what's the most like important thing like outside of work that like you do on a daily basis? And I say you, I mean like the royal you. So like, yeah. Something that I really found that I enjoyed, and it's such a radical departure from like my youth, I really have grown to enjoy being outside. I used to be firmly hashtag team indoors, team video games, team couch, team air conditioning. I feel like a lot of people experience a similar phenomenon, right? During quarantine, I went for a ton of walks. Every morning I spend an hour and 15 minutes outside. I run for like 25 minutes and then I just walk around my neighborhood and I look at the flowers and I look at trees and I listen to video game soundtracks from like the Final Fantasy games in the late 90s, all the peaceful tracks, and I just kind of unwind. So like that is something that I'm like not willing to give up. Like I will lock into stuff once that's done, once I take my shower and I eat breakfast and then I'm locked in for the day, literally until I go to sleep. But I got to have that time in the morning to myself where I'm able to unwind and kind of mentally unpack whatever the stress is or the anxiety is of the day, work or otherwise. And like I said, like that is a non-negotiable for me in my life moving forward. And I'm not going to take that time and spend it on Twitter. I don't care. I don't care if it ends up hurting my career in the long run. I want to make sure that my quality of life is up to par.
When
I
need. Yeah, I mean, going for a walk. I mean, that's been when I was doing the Corona cast with Pat. That was one of the things that I was like, just go and do it. Just go on a 30-minute walk, dude. Put your headphones in, listen to whatever it is that you like to listen to. Don't get on Twitter. Don't get on Instagram. Whatever. Like, don't be like walking and scrolling on your phone. Just like go and like take in the outdoors for a little bit. Do you have a dog?
I don't. I love dogs. I'm like deathly allergic to dogs and cats. So we've talked about getting one. I need it to be hypoallergenic though, or else like I will.
Oh yeah,
die.
You got to get one of the gold. Where you live in New York, right?
I live in New York. Yeah. So right now I moved to Staten Island because my girlfriend's family is from here. It's closer to where my family's at on Long Island. Yeah. So I'm in Staten Island, New York.
So Staten Island, they're probably, I was going to say, like, I bet in like in the city, there's going to be lots of people who have the golden doodles. Those are, that's like the designer dog right now. Cause they're hypoallergenic. No. Everyone gets those.
Yeah. Cause I'm telling you, dude, like I go to like my sister has a dog, for instance, right? I go to my sister's house. I can't touch the dog. And if I do touch the dog, I have to go wash my hands immediately. Cause like then my eyes start to itch and they start to get red and my face gets inflamed. It sucks. Cause I love them. I love dogs, but I actually can't. It's like when girls like, I can't.
I actually physically can't.
Like it messes up my entire day.
Yeah. I mean, that was also like there, the animal shelter where I got, one of my dogs from was like, they had like a record number of adoptions in like March, April, June, July.
That's great, right?
Yeah. Really cool. Because people are just at home and they're like, I assume that people are like, I'm lonely at my house. We have nothing to do with
it's
the house.
Sad, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And so dogs were like very, very big for that. But yeah, I mean, just, and I know a lot of people listening to this are probably close to back to, you know, their normal life. They probably go to work, you know, they're probably in their office. I still am not like, I'm not going to go to my gym. I wear a mask everywhere and everything. But the thing I actually miss the most pre-quarantine is going to the gym. Like going to the gym was just such a, like, not like I'm like some like fit ripped guy. Like I just like to go and, you know, do the stair climber and lift some weights and just get out of the house a little bit. I really do miss that. And like the walk is like a semi-decent replacement for that.
You know what's funny about that, man? When I lived in South Florida, when I worked for CBS, I used to talk to my godfather who lives in Boca Raton. So we used to spend a lot of time together down there. And he always used to tell me like, why don't you just exercise outside? Like, why do you go to the gym in your apartment?
It's so different, dude.
You know, I was always like team gym, right? And I have a pinched nerve. So like, I can't lift heavy weights anymore. Cause like, I will have sex, right? And I would like move my arm in a certain way. And then like, I would like fall down from unbelievable pain. So it was like screwing up my actual life. So I can't really lift heavy weights anymore. So I've got the perfect push-up. I've got resistance bands that I use, which are good. I can't, the weights are bad, but resistance bands are okay at like a low weight. And then I run and I walk outside. So I was talking with my girlfriend this morning, like, what are we going to do in the winter when it gets really cold? Am I going to run outside? Or maybe we'll get a Peloton. Maybe we'll get a treadmill for our house. But I don't really have much of a desire to ever join a gym ever again. And like one of the reasons why I love the gym is because you go and like girls there and maybe like you talk to a girl afterwards. I have a girlfriend now. So it's like, that's eliminated anyway. So it's like for me, I may never go to a gym again. I'm kind of enjoying like working out of my house and running outside.
So for me, it's a focus thing. I have such a hard time getting into, like, you know, you get in that flow where you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm working out. I don't hate it. Like I'm cool with what's going on here. I just have a very hard time getting into that flow at my house. And I really hate running. Like, oh man, do I hate running? I'll do it. I can do, I can go and do a mile, but 2 miles, whatever. But like, you know, a lot of people get
that's good though. That's good though. Mile, 2 miles. You do that like 5 or 6 days a week. Like that's outstanding.
I just really don't enjoy it. Like, whereas like when I'm at the gym, I'm like, I'm enjoying this. I'm getting a good serotonin release. I'm getting some dopamine. I feel good. I don't get that running. And I know a lot of people do. And I'm sure if I just was like, I'm going to run a mile every day for 30 days, no matter what, no excuses, I would start to get it. And this is also probably partly like mental gymnastics to like excuse myself for not working out, you know, but I do really miss going to the gym.
Well, I think what else would happen if you did that is like what you'd start to find is like you'd find your wins. Not that I'm not saying you don't have the win to do that, but you'd find your wins and you'd start doing more. And then that's where it kind of becomes cool, right? Where you're like, okay, like now I can do more. Let me push myself a little bit. That's where I think it starts to become fun a little bit when your cardio starts to get up. You meaning the royal you again, like me, for instance, that's happened to me. And I'm like, all right, well, this is cool. Like now I've got my cardio is a lot better. And like now I'm like, okay, like my turkey neck's slimming down a little bit. So that's kind of the fun that I've had with it. And I've always hated running my entire life. And I've actually grown to like it a little bit over the course of the last, I don't know, 5-6 months.
Were you cooking a lot during quarantine? Were you lots of takeout? What was the food menu like?
So I feel like I had a really unique and a very good circumstance. And it's funny, like while you were talking before, when you mentioned the dogs, I'm like, I have, I almost don't even like to think I get my mind in this kind of space because like I will dwell on it. And I will get sad thinking about it. Like I have major empathy for people that were alone during all of this. Like that's going to be like as we start to come out of this, like, I hope that this is not something that like ruined a lot of people's, I don't even like to think about it. Cause I said like, it's going to lead me and I'm going to think about it all day. And I had a really good situation. So I was living by myself. I had a 1-bedroom apartment in Stamford, Connecticut. And my girlfriend and I were going to move in together, I think in April. So this all starts. I remember I was going to Chicago, doing shows at 670, The Score in January, shows You Better You Bet simulcast. And I remember reading that, like, because I'm up on the shit, right? That coronavirus was in Chicago in January. I remember saying on You Better You Bet, like, I kind of don't want to go here. So yeah. I was very, like, worried about this, like, well in advance of, like, this being, like, a major thing. Not meant to pat myself on the back, just like, hey, I knew it. So right when this started, I remember thinking, okay, like, I feel like this is going to be really fucked. I don't want to be by myself because this is not going to be good for me. So I literally moved in at my girlfriend's house in Staten Island, where she was living with her mom and her sister, and her dad's around in the area too. And so I basically lived there. And then we moved into the house that we're in Staten Island from there. And we're like 15 minutes away from them, which is really cool. And it's the stereotypical, like, Staten Island, mob wives, Sopranos, growing up Gotti type thing. Like the food is like my girlfriend's mom, like my future mother-in-law, is an unbelievable Italian cook. So like every night there was nothing else to do. She was whipping up like feasts that you would have at like Arthur Avenue of the Bronx, like at like Rigoletto's, like ridiculous. I ate better during quarantine than I ever have in my entire life. Like it was stunning. And that was really the impetus behind me starting to run because I was putting so much weight on. I was like, fuck man, like I'm gonna get really fat here. I gotta start running and start trying to lose some weight. So, and now my girlfriend's a really good cook. So she cooks every night now. So I really like lucked out in that regard. I was eating like delicious home cooked meals every single night.
That's pretty nice. Yeah. You gotta feel good about that. I really like cooking, and I go through phases where I'm like, oh, I want to cook dinner every night. And actually now that I'm not going to the gym for like an hour and a half at the end of the workday, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I can thaw out some meat. I can, you know, cut a bunch of veggies. I can crush my own garlic instead of like, you know, just like all that stuff. And that's kind of that, disconnected, like meditative part of the day for me now. Not super great for my waistline, but like still good for the mental health. I think cooking is something that a lot of people during the quarantine were like, I got to do something with my time. So like, let's make some really elaborate food. I know a lot of people like made their own bread and shit. That was, that was definitely a big thing.
Like banana bread, zucchini bread. That was like, so it's like swept social media for like at least like 2 weeks to a month, right? During quarantine.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think all of us are going to look back on this stuff in, you know, 4 or 5 years and be like, that year of being in our house and you know, not, and maybe we're going to find out a year from now that coronavirus was really deadly in old people, not as deadly in young people. But also I'm wondering if you've seen this stuff of like there, some doctors and scientists believe that there is like weird stuff happening to people's brains who get COVID, that like, that it like alters the way your synapses in your brain communicate with one another. Like nothing that I really understand at anything more than like a basic level, but I am so curious to what the, or even like what the history books say about the coronavirus, you know, worldwide. And another thing that I know from listening to like soccer podcasts and stuff is that like actually a lot of these countries in Europe feel like the people that live there also feel as if their government is kind of bungling stuff too, which is interesting because, you know, what you get in the United States is, oh, you know, we're the only country that is getting roasted by this. So I don't, that none of that was very coherent, but I just there's so much unknown right now. Yeah. And it feels so good to have football and know something and feel comforted by something that we know.
No doubt. And listen, man, I wear a mask everywhere I go to. Look, it's like, I was going to say, like, I am of the opinion of this, but like, really, like, what the hell do I know? I sure. tend to probably think that the first thing that you said, what the fuck do I don't fucking know. But like, I tend to think, maybe probably because I'm an optimist and kind of really depressing to think of the alternative, that like you said, could be deadly in old people and, you know, whatever. And hopefully like we're all able to move on or whatever. Still though, I mean, like, I don't get, like, I tweeted the other night and it's not meant to be political. Like I tweeted like, why are they making coaches wear masks if like they're all tested and they're negative? Like it was a serious question. And I got people like, well, you're an anti-masker. It's like, actually, moron, like I fucking wear a mask literally everywhere I go. Like, why wouldn't, like, I don't get that whole thing. It's like, better to be safe than sorry. Like, even if there's like a 1% chance that like this could fuck up your brain, I'm putting the mask on. You know what you know what I like to do? Gamble $100 on a football game. You know what I'm not gambling with? My life, my brain, not interested.
You really, like, you get at it right there. It's like, this is what you are weighing. You are weighing, I could maybe get this horrible disease that has a 0.001% chance of leaving me with like lifelong lung damage, right? Which is another thing that some doctors, you know, not all, but some doctors think it has the ability to do. Or I could just wear like a small piece of cloth and you know, and work from home instead, and like that. Or like, I get people that like, oh, you know, I have my wedding, I want to go to my wedding because I set it up, I paid for it, I want to do this, like, whatever. I get it, you know, that's for sure. But like, oh, I just want to go to dinner on a Tuesday night and I want to eat inside, and like, I don't know, man, it's just like, I'm totally down for the patio dining, support small businesses, do all of that. But like, the people that are just like, I want to go to Target, I don't want to wear a mask when I go to Target,
just, and put the mask on,
and the goddamn mask on,
you know. I got it. So here in New York, like, I have not seen one time anyone like give anyone any shit about wearing a mask, and everyone wears them. I haven't seen, not one time have I seen anything remotely like, and you know, here's the other way I kind of look at it. I have felt at times in my life, I'm born in 1983. Like, I guess like we had 9/11, right? And I'm not trying to minimize or trivialize that at all. I'm a New Yorker, and like, that was like, obviously, like, I'm not trying to, but like, this is kind of like our, like, big life event, I feel like. Like, I wasn't alive during a world war. Like, there's always shit in life. And I feel like for the most part, people around my age, and yes, like 9/11, like, was atrocious, obviously. Like, it feels like this is our life event. Kids that are born this year, maybe this isn't their life event. And maybe like, as they grow up, like, things will be back to normal, God willing. Well, I think that'll be the case.
I'll say this. This is not our life event, then holy shit, because...
Yeah, just shoot me in the head, yeah.
Right.
Let's get me the fuck out of here, and I'll roll the dice and see what's coming up next. But yeah, like, and the young people now, like, very young people, will have their life event, I'm sure, too, because that just kind of seems like that's what history dictates, right? So this is kind of our life event. It is what it is. We make the best of it, and God willing, we'll be out of it sooner rather than later. And I'll say this, and maybe you agree or disagree with this. I feel like my life is, like, I don't know, like, fairly close to normal anyway right now. Like, I work from home anyway. And like, I'm sure for a lot of people, other people, it's not, but like, you know, I go and I eat outside with my girl and our friends. Like I see, like I've seen my family, like we social distance and we wear masks and stuff. But like, it's really just like, okay, we're a little more careful now. We wear masks when we go places. And, you know, I don't think it's like that big of a price to pay. And I'm sure other people will be, it's like, it turns into like an indictment on like personal freedom. For me, it's not that. For me, it's like, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to get this virus that's caused a global pandemic. That's really what it is for me. Not interested. I'll wear a mask. All good.
Yeah, my life, I would say it's like 65% back to normal, because I haven't gone back to where I'm from since all this stuff started, because it's way far. It's like 6-7 hours away from where I live, and just kind of would feel like a giant hassle. And but you and I are very privileged in that sense of like, we work from home. Yep. We live with our partner. We live close to like a good support system, you know, some friends and family where you can do that stuff. But you know, I'm sure there are many people who have either returned to normal because they didn't have a choice, or they're so frustrated, or like, you know, I think one of the most difficult positions to be in would be, you live far away from home. You live by yourself, you know, maybe you were in college, maybe you just graduated college, just starting out a job, stuff like that. And you don't have a great support system built up. And I think at that point, I mean, is it even responsible to be like, look, you gotta stay inside, you gotta wear a mask, like you gotta suffer? Like, I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't have the answers for that. And, you know, I think the right answer for that is probably what a lot of these, Asian and European countries did, which is basically they paid people to stay home so that it wouldn't end up being a big deal. And, you know, that was never going to happen here, but you know, we're on to bigger and brighter things. Let's talk some NFL. Okay. Biggest takeaway from week one, like that. Okay. Biggest change of opinion from week zero to now, like what team were you like, oh, they're fraudulent, or they're not fraudulent, or this coach sucks, or this coach doesn't suck?
I'm going to give you two teams from the NFC East. You and I spoke about it on You Better You Bet on Monday. I'm worried about the Cowboys, man. This was the team that I kind of thought coming into the year was the class of the NFC. Like, even with defensive deficiencies, I just thought the offense was going to be so good. And then I liked some of the pass rushing additions with Everson Griffin and Aldon Smith, along with Demarcus Lawrence. And I thought this team was going to be filthy. They still may be, but that was a very discouraging. It looked like Jason Garrett was coaching the team on Sunday night. And that was one of the main reasons why I liked them, was the theoretical upgrade from a guy who had won a Super Bowl in Mike McCarthy from Jason Garrett. And it looked like it was a Jason Garrett coach team. Now, I still think the Cowboys can get it together, but if that's what their offense is going to look like, then I think that they could be in trouble this year. I still think they're a playoff team. So like, I'm not saying they're going to go like 4-12, but I mean, as far as like seriously contending for a Super Bowl, I'm not sure. I think the Philadelphia Eagles might be fucked, even if Lane Johnson comes back this week. Dillard and Brooks, losing both of them was huge. Can Jason Peters hold up over the course of a full season? Carson Wentz got bruised and battered last week. On You Better You Bet on Monday, we said, look, the Rams are going to close as a favorite here. Bet them as an underdog. Right now, they're currently favored in the game, and they should be favored in the game because the Eagles can't pass protect, and Aaron Donald's going to absolutely eat Carson Wentz alive. So I have major concerns about the Eagles, not as huge a concern about the Cowboys, but that was noteworthy. Two teams in the AFC that I feel really good about. Oh, and I was down on the Vikings, and Sunday confirmed it. I feel really good about the Bills coming out of Sunday. I think this is a very, very well-coached team. I like what Brian Daboll's doing with Josh Allen, spreading the ball around. Allen looks very good. He's still going to have the throws where he looks like the fucking worst quarterback of all time. But for the most part, like, I think he's pretty studly, though, like the way that they use him especially. And I think if you're a Steelers fan, you probably got to be feeling pretty good, right? Ben really got it together after like a rusty start to the game. I feel like if they played that game again, the Steelers would beat the Giants by more. Defense is going to regress in terms of turnovers. History dictates that they will not perform the same way this year they did last year, but the offensive leap they're going to make, I think, will be more pronounced than what the defensive regression will be. So I think Pittsburgh is going to be just fine.
I am Pittsburgh feels very thin to me. One, because I don't think they'll win their division. Baltimore absolutely just picked up where they left off. Lamar looks incredible, right?
Yep. Yes.
And they're Pittsburgh's playing a very dangerous game where they should have signed Jameis Winston to be their backup quarterback.
Yep.
They didn't. Mason Rudolph is still their backup quarterback. We already saw before halftime of game one Ben on the sideline icing his elbow while making
Yeah, but that's his shtick, though. That's what Ben always does. I don't want to put too much. Listen, if Ben goes down, they're fucked. You're right about that. But like, Ben loves milking that shit. He's always done that.
Yeah, he really does. But I think the Steelers could be the third best AFC team for sure. No doubt about it. I am also worried about the Cowboys. This is my galaxy brain take, though, on it. What if losing that game that they should have won, right? So they could have tied it with 5 minutes left, then they get the ball, or 6 minutes left, and then they get the ball back with the chance to win as well. What if that was actually the organizational signal that they needed that, look, we have Dak, we have Lamb, we have Gallup, we have Cooper. Let's just throw the ball 45 times a game and be the NFC Kansas City Chiefs and just score 40 points. Like, that is that, because they just run the ball on first down every time. I mean, you know what they're going to do on first down. They're going to hand the ball off to Zeke. That's the galaxy brain take.
Well, I think we'll find out on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah.
If there were ever a game to do that and throw it 40, 45 times, it would be against this Falcons defense, which is Swiss cheese, and is so bad in the secondary that the Seattle Seahawks, who have infamously never hashtag let Russ cook, hashtag let Russ cook on Sunday. So we'll find out on find out on Sunday. Are the Cowboys paying attention? If they are, this should be a 404 game for Dak Prescott. If they're paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, they should be. I think my other big week one take is Brady might not be cooked, right? Like, he might not be a final year Peyton Manning level cooked, because he had a couple throws that went deep. They weren't completions, but they were at least able to get down the field. But the idea of Tampa Bay as this all-star team that was going to lay waste to the NFC, and I think they ended up, what, they closed as, like, the fourth favorite to win the Super Bowl, that seems preposterous now after watching that first game.
Oh, see, I disagree with you on Tampa Bay.
You're big on the Bucs?
I'm big on the Bucs. So I think that if you could have you couldn't have possibly scheduled a more difficult game for the Bucs unless it was, like, at Kansas City or at Baltimore. Week one, incorporating a new quarterback in a year where continuity means more than it ever has before. And you've got to go to Breeze and Sean Payton in New Orleans, who, by all metrics, I personally like the Bucs over the course of a full season more than New Orleans, but all the metrics dictate, you talk to anyone who does models or power mathematical rankings, the Saints are the best team in the NFC per any reasonable estimation.
Yeah.
And, like, Tampa has to go visit New Orleans. And I know the final score was not really flattering. They lose 34-23. The Bucs defense was very good in that game. Very good. Like,
they held Drew Brees.
So this was always my take with Tampa. They don't need to win 41-38 with Brady. The defense is really good. Brady just has to not turn the ball over. So the pick six, Janoris Jenkins, was a terrible throw, obviously. And there were some other concerning throws as well. But once Brady gets on the same page with Godwin and Evans gets a little more healthy, we already saw him use O.J. Howard. Scotty Miller's like the new Julian Edelman, right? I think this offense is going to be just fine. I think the defense is really good. And I think they're going to win. They're still winning double-digit games. And one of my favorite bets of the week, I think they'll probably close at 10 or more.
They're going to lay the fucking pipe against the
Panthers. They are going to, like, I bet this at 9. I would encourage anyone, if your book has this at anything below 10, I would make the game like 13. I understand why it is what it is after what we saw in week one. Tampa's going to win this game by double digits. If you can get anything below 10, I would lay it with the Bucs and feel very good about it. I think that might be my favorite bet of the week.
I haven't made, like, my picks for, like the super contest or anything yet, but I really like that one, because this should be a game that they control start to finish. And, like, Brady and Arians, they read the news, bro. They know everyone is saying that Tom is cooked. They know everyone is saying, you know, they're no good after that loss to the Saints. So I'm definitely with you on that. I like that side of the bet for sure. Some of the other ones that I like this week. I like Buffalo -5.5 against Miami. Like, I think Josh Allen is going to be kind of one of those classic, like, just destroys bad teams, because they're just going to – because, like, he doesn't have an off switch. Like, they're not going to be playing conservatively up 10 points. They're just going to be letting Josh Allen be Josh Allen.
No doubt. I love the Bills as well. And I think this is also, this is the swan song for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Just reading the tea leaves, like obviously you start Fitzpatrick in week one, no problem with that. First game of the season in New England, you're not going to throw Tua into that. I wouldn't throw Tua in against this Bills defense. Week three, they're playing the Jaguars. And to me, that makes perfect sense for Tua to take over next week as the Dolphins starting quarterback. So I think this is the end for Fitzpatrick. I think this number's short. I would bet the Bills at anything under a touchdown. I think the Bills kind of lay waste to the Dolphins. I'm with you on that pick.
Yeah. And then I just have this theory. I kind of want this to be the last thing that that we talk about, which is that unless it's two touchdowns, right, unless it's legitimately 14 points, I don't actually think that Kansas City and Baltimore can be favored by enough when you think they're going to win. Like when, like for example, both the Houston game last week and the Cleveland game, I bet huge points, right? I think Kansas City was 9.5. I believe that Baltimore might have only been 6.
Baltimore closed at 7.5, which is, and actually hit 7 at points last week. And my co-host on You Better You Bet, Lockie Lockers, and Ken Barkley was like, if you can bet the Ravens at a touchdown, like you like put the mortgage on it because they're going to kill the Browns, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I think that like we're used to seeing in the NFL, we're used to seeing. So right now, Baltimore is -7 over Houston. You're like, yeah, Deshaun Watson is good. Like yada, yada. Like Lamar and Mahomes.
You're betting the backdoor if you bet the Texans. Like exactly, you are basically 100%. Betting that game being like, we need to backdoor cover. And like, it sounds good on paper or sounds good out loud when you say that. But like, that's not a situation. I would much rather, I'd lay it with Baltimore, and I think I'd lay it with Kansas City at an 8.5-point favorite in LA against the Chargers. Now, here's an angle that I have for you. If I think you want to play the Chargers, if anyone wants to play the Chargers, I would play Chargers first half. Because if they can score early and maybe stay in this game early with their defense, great. But over the course of a 60-minute game, I don't care what defense is on the other side of the field. Mahomes is going to do his thing. They're going to score. And then I don't have confidence in Tyrod and this Chargers offense being able to kind of hang with the Chiefs over a full 60-minute game. So I think they can hang for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, not so much. So like I'm not rushing to take the points with the Chargers and certainly not rushing to take the points with the Texans against Baltimore.
I like that. I like that idea. I like that idea for sure. But I mean, one of the things that I'm going to do until we start seeing Kansas City by 13, Baltimore by 12 as just like their baseline against these average teams, I'm going to keep laying the points with these teams because, and Kansas City, by the way, literally played that Houston game as conservatively as possible. Like Mahomes didn't throw deep in the second half at all. It was his lowest average depth of target game since he took over, right? So that was the most conservative the Chiefs offense has ever been. And they covered with a field goal to spare against
the Texans scored a million garbage time points and the Chiefs still covered. Like the back door was shut like midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other one that I like is New England +4 against Seattle. Yeah, I mean, like, I totally buy the let Russ cook stuff. Well, I don't totally buy it. I totally buy that Russ is, like, the best or second-best quarterback in the NFL when you let him throw that much.
Yeah, great. But you can do that against Atlanta. The Patriots defense is an entirely
a little
other
different
thing. Yes.
Yeah, and Cam looked great. Cam looked healthy, looked very solid in week one. And I think as long as he is healthy, the Patriots are going to be a little bit undervalued, I think.
Yeah. I bet them at +4. I like that as well. I also am looking at the Titans where I think they're just going to kind of grind Jacksonville into dust on Sunday as well. I'd lay anything under 10 with Tennessee.
Yeah. All right, man. Tell people about You Better You Bet, where they can find you, all that good stuff.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, You Better You Bet. The reason why I think our podcast wins now and will continue to win in the sports gambling space is because we don't veer too far into either direction. We're going to give you a lot of entertainment. We're going to make you laugh. There will be some fluff, and it will be scripted fluff where like we think stuff is funny, but we're also going to give you really smart, hardcore analysis of market moves and like where you should put your money so you can make money. So we were all over it last week, bets we made early in the week. We have closing line value on almost every bet we place, which does not guarantee wins, but you would rather be on the right side of the number, and we are much more often than we are not. So we give you the entertainment, we give you the analysis and the info, and when you put that all together, you get something that I created. Actually, I didn't create it. A Twitter follower of mine, long time, tweeted it to me once, and I DM'd him and said, can I use this? And he was like, of course. # wagertainment. That's what we give you on You Better You Bet, 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern on the radio.com app on weekdays. And then I am live along with Danny Parkins from 670 The Score in Chicago, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, also on radio.com, getting you set to gamble on games on NFL Sundays. And a very cool wrinkle for me, as a lifelong New Yorker, big sports radio fan my entire life. I interned at WFAN, which is the station of Mike and the Mad Dog, basically invented sports talk radio. I'm on from 8:30 to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning on WFAN doing a sports gambling show as well with Mark Melusis. So very cool for me. Lots of cool stuff. Hope everyone checks it out and appreciate the opportunity to plug it.
Beautiful. All right, everyone follow Nick on Twitter at the Kostos. Everyone watch and listen to You Better You Bet. I will continue to make some guest appearances on there throughout the course of the season.
Yes.
And let's go and crush it, guys.
Appreciate it, brother.